As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The only place to read your emails and tweets. It's Wednesday, June 16th, and the NBA is officially drunk. I'm J.E. Skeets. We got Tass Mellis up in this mother. What's up, Tass?
What's up, everybody?
We got my Top Shot Hot Boy, fellow freak, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo! The international man of mystery, always taking it to the Max Lee Ellis.
Friend.
And making the magic happen, it's J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live on YouTube. Some of you for the second time today. Please like, comment, and subscribe. Before we get to your questions today on the beach, a little housekeeping here. First off, check out this morning's podcast. It was an action-packed episode. Now, a few things, guys, have happened since recording that. Obviously, some of them I think we'll talk about on this show. If we don't, some of that news, don't worry, we'll get to it on tomorrow's daily podcast live at 10 a.m. Eastern on YouTube. But the TLDR of it all, okay, here we go. Hold on to your butts. Chris Paul, he is out indefinitely, having to enter the NBA's health and safety protocols. That's what we know. Kawhi, he has an ACL injury. He could be done for the entire postseason. The Pelicans fired head coach Stan Van Gundy after just one season. The Wizards announced that they will not extend the contract of coach Scottie Brooks, so he's out. The Mavericks front office was blown up. Shout out to Tim Cato, the Kingslayer. Donnie Nelson is out as the Mavericks president of basketball operations after 20-plus seasons with the franchise. We know that. And there are reports trickling in here that Bob Vulgaris, who you might remember was the shadowy GM figure at the center of Tim Cato and Sam Amick, the Athletics reporting, with that all that drama going on, he might also be out.
He has changed his Twitter bio, I can confirm.
Okay,
that.
Okay, okay, so that's looking like
head collector. Those are the two words as his Twitter bio.
Oh my goodness.
I think that's just a shout out to CryptoPunks. He's a big CryptoPunk guy, made a huge huge buy, if I'm not mistaken, to not too long ago. So I think that that's what that's a reference to. But I see the correlation with the way things have been going down lately.
It's looking like he and Donnie Nelson are going to be out there, and the Mavericks try and rebuild their front office. And Hornets guard LaMelo Ball has been voted the NBA's Rookie of the Year. Great timing by the NBA. Oh, I love it. You know, they had that press release ready to go today on Wednesday. Think it'd be a quiet afternoon, Tass. And instead, you know, we had 10 incredible headlines to try and dissect. So, yeah, again, we'll get to some of that on today's show here on the beach, which is great. We got a second show today on Wednesday. And if we don't, we'll approach it or discuss it on tomorrow's show. Keep your emails and tweets coming. We love them all week long. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Tweet them in at NoDunksInc. And final piece of housekeeping here before we get into the questions. I know some of you were maybe confused that listened to the show on Apple Podcasts yesterday. You may have stumbled upon a 17-minute bonus, secret, exclusive podcast by us discussing whether an NBA team of European players could defeat an NBA team of American players. That was a fun question, actually, that we decided to use for one of our first ever little mini exclusive bonus pods. There were some issues, JD, with the feed in terms of where it was showing up. I think we've got it figured out. But moving forward here, if you are a listener on Apple Podcasts, you're going to get a little of this bonus content. And you got to be a subscriber now. All this terminology, you know, there's following, there's subscriptions and all that. But about once a week, at least to start, we're going to do these little mini shows, this little juicy extra audio for people exclusively that listen on Apple Podcast subscriptions, okay? And that's the thing. I believe, Tass, you said it was little as a dollar a month. There's a 30-day free trial right now. And that's that. So just want to clear up that confusion. I saw some people in the Discord going, what the hell's going on? What does this mean? Everything else remains the same. But once a week, there'll be like these little 10 to 15-minute, you know, exclusive Apple Podcast subscription podcasts. My God, it's wordy, isn't it? But that's what it is.
It is. Yeah. I need to work on the verbiage, as it were. But, yes. Yeah, it was a real struggle just to figure out how to upload the thing, let alone release it to the people. And we had two feeds going at one point. I think that might have been solved, but
okay.
Anyway, I think we're good. I think we're good. Yeah. Good.
You know what? Better it happened yesterday than today.
Good point.
So, again, if you want to help your boys out even more, I know some of you don't listen through Apple, and that's fine. Do what you want to do. Continue to download and listen to the show or watch the show however you want. But if you do, you may want to consider that little dollar a month subscription now, because that's where Apple's sort of taking it to the next level. And it was a fun question, and we had a lot of fun, like, drafting our all-European teams versus our all-American teams and then, like, talking out the hypothetical. So go check that out. Okay, Tass, I've rambled on here long enough, but there was a lot to get in there. Let's get to that first cue.
Yeah, and the first cue involves Kawhi Leonard, which we'll get to the injury because I think that is the biggest basketball-y thing anyways that's going on right now. So the email starts, "Hi, No Dunks. LeBron James has lost a lot of game ones while feeling out his opponents, and then he ends up giving them the old douchebag sweep, winning four straight after that. Kawhi could be taking that concept to the next level right now by losing the first two games and then winning the series, which he did in round one, but he ain't going to be around four in round two. Which NBA thing or concept would you like to be taken to the next level?" Mm-hmm. Greetings from Spain. That is from longtime fan Santi, a.k.a. Capacoro, on Twitter in Spain. So, Skeets, you want to get us started here?
Well, yeah, I mean, well, let's talk about Kawhi, because I think it'd be silly not to. And then we'll answer that fun question, which NBA thing or concept would you like to be taken to the next level? Yeah. By all accounts here, Lili, you know, he has suffered an ACL injury. Now, we don't know really the extent of it. That's never good, especially with a guy like Kawhi Leonard. He's not playing in Game 5 tonight. We also know Mike Conley's not playing for the Jazz. But who knows what this means going forward for the rest of this, to the series, and then particularly the postseason. I think it's like, I don't know, am I overreacting thinking Kawhi Leonard is done, Lee, and that the Clippers will move forward with Paul George and their crew in trying to win a title?
Well, I hope you are overreacting, yes, but it's certainly from what's being put out there that it sounds like that's what it is. So until we get confirmation, we can hope that it is just maybe something more mild and he misses a game or perhaps even two. But it sounds like he said to his teammates, "Prepare to be without me for a while," is one thing I saw out there. So if the player, you know, feels that way, then that tells me that this injury is fairly serious and we may not see him again this postseason. And in fact, I mean, if it is an ACL, then he's probably going to miss a large portion of next season as well. These things, you know, tend to be a sort of 9 to 12 month injury. So that's what it sounds like. It's just such a bummer. It's just such a bummer to see this, because the Clippers, you know, they've been a punching bag for such a long time. They were down in that first series, they were down in this series, and then he was just a monster in these last two games, and we really had ourselves a series here. So either way, he's definitely not playing game five, and obviously things swing back into the Jazz's favor here, but it just sucks to lose one of the real legitimate game changing, you know, he's a two-time finals MVP already, he's won a lot, he's proved he can step up in big games, and now he's out there, and it just takes a lot of the wind out of what was a fascinating series.
Yeah, he was the MVP of the Western Conference playoffs at the very least, and maybe the entirety of the postseason. That's how great he's been playing. I saw Kirk Goldsberry say Kawhi was converting a ridiculous 66% of his mid-rangers this postseason. He was on pace to be the highest field goal percentage on that mid-range jumper there, on mid-range shots in a single postseason over the past 25 years. And which is huge against a team like the Jazz, right, Trey, where that's the space to operate. And, you know, we had a best of three here, game five tonight. And, you know, now Kawhi's just another all-star. I mean, LeBron's been tweeting about it in the last, what, 10 or 15 minutes here, like saying, basically, I told you so, this condensed schedule, the quick turnaround. And here we now have, what, eight, possibly nine all-stars that will be missing a significant amount of time, if not some of the rest of the postseason because of it. That's what LeBron says.
Yeah, when you see LeBron tweeting something like prayers up for Kawhi, you have to think that even though we don't know the extent of the ACL injury, he probably is a little bit more clued in than we are. Ergo, it is likely not good. And like you're saying, Skeets, that mid-range percentage, 66%, like, Kawhi Leonard is an awesome player in the regular season. All-NBA first team this year. We just found that out yesterday. Feels like thousands of years ago, but in the postseason, that becomes even more important. Being able to operate in that mid-range game, just like Chris Paul is, just like we thought, that is something that, you know, if the Suns and Jazz run into each other, maybe that's an advantage for Chris Paul there. But Kawhi Leonard does the same thing, living in that mid-range because that's where teams are kind of used to giving up the jumper. Kawhi turning into playoff Kawhi has been the difference for the Clippers in this postseason. It was the difference in the Mavericks series. It has been the difference in their two wins in the Jazz series so far. And now it's just a lot of pressure on Paul George to step into that number one spot and get some stuff done in the interior as well, because that's the thing with Kawhi is that he puts a lot more pressure on the rim than anybody else on the Clippers, and that's something that they need because they're such a perimeter-based team. So, I mean, this is tragic. And yeah, I mean, LeBron is, I don't know, how do you argue with the guy? He's like, nobody knows more about bodies playing basketball than I do.
Yeah.
But he got a good point, bud.
He does make a good point, but he comes out after this Kawhi news, which I don't think has anything to do with guys playing too many games this season. Kawhi Leonard played into the second round last year, and then he was load managed all season long. He played 52 of 72 games. I don't think this ACL injury has anything to do with playing too many games. I don't know my body as well as LeBron James. It's unfortunate I don't, but I definitely do not.
Do you think LeBron James knows your body test more than you?
Yeah, he does. For sure. Of course he does.
Sort of creepy, yeah.
But it's horrible for Kawhi Leonard. I liken it to 2017 when Zaza Pachulia stepped under Kawhi Leonard when they took a 20-point lead on the Warriors. In game one of that Western Conference final series, it looked like they had control of the series somewhat. He goes down. Now he goes down with 4 minutes left in game number four here when they had taken control of this Jazz series as well. So, yeah, just two postseasons sure looks like have ended when they had the upper hand on their opponent. And yeah, he's, you know, finals MVP in 2019. He got his with the Spurs earlier. But what could have been for a couple of these other playoff runs? It seems like, you know, the news has slightly changed from this morning when we were podcasting to, yeah, he's out for game five. It's an indefinite period of time. Now it's from knee to an ACL. Yeah. And that just makes it seem like a longer term injury. And it just sucks that one of these, you know, great players, obviously, and a great team that was hitting its stride, especially considering all the injuries across the league that we talked about this morning. And like LeBron is referring to, which he could be right about. Just really takes the wind out of the sails, because it's different than Chris Paul, because Chris Paul, he's not injured. He's coming back at some point, and hopefully, you know, if this series is shorter now between the Clippers and the Jazz, that, you know, doesn't bode well for his chances to be back for game one.
Right.
But it is different there. Anyways, let's get to the answer of this question.
Well, no. I want to ask, like, do the Clippers have any chance, Lee, to win a title if Kawhi Leonard is done for the rest of the postseason?
No. Well, not really. It's tough to see how they could go on and win it from here. They've still got Paul George, you know, they've still got some good players on that team there, but I really can't see them getting past, you know, the Jazz for one, and then also getting past the Suns, and then getting past, Brooklyn, let's say, in the Eastern Conference. It just seems too big a hill to climb for them right now.
A hypothetical. I saw this on Twitter. I thought it was an interesting question. Let's pretend Tass is right. He should be back. Hopefully for game one, maybe even game two. I'm talking about Chris Paul. But let's say he, for whatever reason, isn't. Who has, like, a better chance without their star player to go to the finals, let's say? Is it the Suns without Chris Paul? Again, very unlikely because he should be back. Or would it be the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard, still having Paul George, still having a good team? You know, the Suns, of course, have Devin Booker, too, who's in the mix for all NBA teams and all-star teams and stuff like that. But I don't know. I was like, immediately I thought Suns, and then I sort of caught myself. I don't think it's that automatic. I mean, they're both put in a horrible position because those players are so important to their teams. Trey, do you have an answer? I see you mulling it back and forth there.
I think it just means the Jazz are clear-cut favorites. If Chris Paul's out and Kawhi Leonard is out because, I mean, yeah, you would... Paper-wise, looking at it, I think I would choose the Suns as more reliable from a talent standpoint. Also, it's their first time in the playoffs for a decade, and the big difference for them being a first-time playoff team was that they would have Chris Paul, you know, there as a veteran leader. So that's an impossible task for them to overcome. Meanwhile, Kawhi Leonard, I think, has been the difference for the Clippers. And when he starts playing well, obviously their team starts playing well. That's why he's been a finals MVP in two different finals. That's a huge loss. Meanwhile, the Jazz, yeah, they're missing Mike Conley, but as long as Donovan Mitchell's able to go, at least they've got their top two guys, which is not what you can say for the other two teams in the Western Conference.
Yeah, no, it's insane. Okay, so let's answer this question here. Which NBA thing or concept would you like to be taken to the next level? I've talked about this before for the past, I don't know, what are we up to, 10 or 11 years, but I would love to see the concept of NBA teams, NBA players, using the backboard as that sneaky sixth offensive player out there. Use those angles. And sometimes we see it. I was confused whether Joel Embiid was trying to throw a pass to Ben Simmons, who was being fronted the other night, off the backboard. Some players have actually pulled this off. It's of course, you got to have incredible touch. That thing's going to rock it off there. But just this concept, will we ever get to this weird level where these guys are so good that using and throwing things off the glass to go over the defense, when you're fronted to, like, from the top, throw it in off the glass and it drops. We're slowly seeing it. It creeps in every once in a while, but will it ever go there? That's my crazy concept. That and the NBA Jam shoes, where they glow and catch fire when somebody hits five or six threes. Katie's kicks would have been neon green or whatever last night, or neon red or whatever. Those are my two things that I've been talking about for a decade. So I'll keep it there.
But what else? Stay true. Yeah. I'll jump in. One other thing we have talked about is jump balls. I despise jump balls. I just can't stand it. I just find myself watching the referee, seeing which side he's going to throw it to.
Right.
Because he can never throw it straight up. He can take as long as Giannis Antetokounmpo takes at the free throw line to try and get it right, but it never goes straight up. We've talked about maybe bringing out a little cannon before to shoot straight up in between the two jumpers. But, you know, that's a little... it's a little cumbersome. It's going to take forever. We talked about Mark Cuban made a comment about artificial intelligence in Tim Cato's article on The Athletic. If there's artificial intelligence in the NBA, I'm sure we can figure out a way to retract the floor every time two jumpers are there and mm-hmm. the ball shoots straight out of the floor. Like, there's a lot of things happening underneath the floor, whatever, you know, mechanics they got going under there. I mean, I don't think you could do it everywhere on the floor. You know, it couldn't just zip around. But, you know, in the middle of the floor, why not? Why can't the floor just retract in all 30 NBA arenas and a ball just shoots straight up?
What Seth B is saying? Drop it from the rafters. New ball. Let's go. Just drop it down. Watch pandemonium happen there for a second. It's like a, I don't know. So it sounds like the XFL or something like that.
Not bad. Not bad.
Trey, do you have an answer for this?
Yeah, I got three things I would like to see kind of permeate normal life. The jersey swap, I like that that's taking off as a thing. We've seen the famous picture from Vegas. We mentioned on the show not too long ago, one of Noah J. Pete's, I believe, got the ice blue wedgie shirt and did a solo jersey swap showing the front and the back of the shirt. I would love to get in on a jersey swap with somebody if there's any other extra larges out there. I would also like to see the coach point goodbye become a way of saying goodbye to your friends. You know, if you're going to be seeing them again soon, not quite the same if you're like going away for months at a time, but when you're getting ready to leave, all you got to do, point, hand up, we're out of here.
All right.
Point, hand up, we're out of here. And I'd also like post-podcast interviews, you know, like we break it down afterwards. So what were you thinking with that take out there? Skeets, what were you thinking when you said Zion Williamson's rookie year highlights were overrated?
Yeah.
Maybe somebody will be like, You know, I couldn't believe Skeets went to Lee first there. I thought he was going to set me up to come in on my answer first, but Coach decided to go the other way. That'd be a, you know, a fun way to break down the ins and outs of how we're actually making this podcast. Afterwards, you have a really good show, you get a podium game. Could be pretty crazy.
I mean, I already do that. I just do it on Twitter and in the YouTube comments, but I like that concept of just doing a second podcast right after the first podcast. Yeah, we all throw towels on around our necks, you know, we got our water bottles. We're like, yeah. Just like breaking down the footage. We can play it back. Oh, look at this. When Tass dropped his computer, I mean, like, what were you? Were you freaking out? Did you think he was going to disappear for the rest of the show? Love it. All right.
Yeah. Let me just interject. Love the jersey talk there, the jersey swap idea. I finally found a use for all the jerseys that we've collected over the last 10 years or so.
What?
You know, I'm pulling a buddy move like our buddy Ken Angeles and just wearing them during the summer. Finally,
found a move and just wear them. Yeah,
just wear them. Yeah, but strictly summer wear for pool wear. I mean, does anybody else wear them around? No.
Trey Kirby's been doing that for a decade, I think, hasn't he?
Yeah, you got to wear a jersey to the pool. Yeah. But I was happy to see you embracing it as well. If I'm not mistaken, that's a Malcolm Delaney.
Yeah,
an old school Delaney, looking good.
That's right. It's an old school Malcolm Delaney Hawks jersey. Well,
it looks good.
Thanks for the inspiration a decade ago, Trey.
Yeah. Lee, do you have an answer for this?
Yes. You know, we still haven't seen a player win the dunk contest and the three-point contest at the All-Star weekend. No one's ever done it. I want to see someone do it on the same weekend.
Mm.
I want to see someone come out there, you know, shoot the threes, win that contest, and then go and win the slam dunk contest. It's shocking to me that no one's ever done it, like, over different weekends. So I want someone to come and do it for one weekend. I think that'd be great, wouldn't it? Damian Lillard, a few guys have been in both. But no one's ever been able to pull it off. So I think that's what we need now.
Okay, next question. Sup, NDs, with both James Harden and Kyrie Irving getting injured, Kevin Durant was left as the lone healthy superstar on the Nets. It looks like their plans have backfired and Skeets may get that $100. Take a wild guess when this email was sent to him. If you guessed before Game 5 on Tuesday night, you're right. Luke goes on to write, what's a time there was a plan of yours backfired and you were left all alone at the end? Shout out to Luke Reese by way of Twitter with that question. TK, what do you got?
Oh, it was just last weekend when I thought I was going on a nice family getaway until Lee cursed my vacation by planting the beef seed. I thought, you know what, I'm not taking my computer with me. There's going to be no roast beefs. People are more stringent about boxing out in the playoffs. You can't let one guy beat you on the glass. No way it happens again on a second vacation. But of course, Nikola Jokic got that beef. The good thing, though, is that I went to a Culver's the day before the show. Went to pick something up. I'm thinking, okay, this is going to take a while. I don't know if y'all know. Probably not. Culver's, if you go through their drive-thru, it just takes a long time. They're fresh making your food, and it takes forever. So I'm thinking, okay, 20 minutes. I'm looking at my phone. I'm like, okay, it's been a little bit of time here. I better go check on some stuff. Uh-oh, they didn't bring me my order. We couldn't find you, sir. I'm thinking, why couldn't they find me? Perhaps it was because I was tucked away in the parking lot, recording a roast beef on my phone, screaming into my phone, that's a lot of roast beef. Nikola Jokic had 20 rebounds. I wouldn't come up to my car to give me food either. So there I was for the second vacation, sitting alone in a Volkswagen, recording a beef. Anything for content, my guys.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. What do you got, Tass?
Sorry to hear that, man. Mine was that I was an Apple man for a long time. I had an Apple phone until 2016 when I finally made the jump over to Samsung. You know, I had been toying with the idea. I was lucky enough to get a phone from Shaq in our first year at NBA TV 2013-14, but I wasn't ready to make the jump then. That thing was as massive as Shaq's hand. So I got rid of that phone. But in 2016... jumped over. I made the jump. I was really happy for several years, but then, you know, I felt like I was left on an island. I know a few people who are Samsung people, but nobody I really knew. Everybody hated seeing the green chat come up when they saw a text from me, so I jumped back. It also coincided with me not getting any more free Samsung phones. But I made the jump back, and I'm extremely happy. I'm an AirDrop man now, you know, like everybody else.
Back in the mix. Yeah. I mean, it's so. Like, look, let's be honest. Yeah, there's many, like, group chats, whatever, where you got the one Samsung guy or girl, and it's like somebody sends a photo and it doesn't work. It's like, you know, tiny and tiny, and everyone's like, what's going on? And everyone's like, oh, yeah, Taz got the Samsung. It's going to be a problem. It's so good to have you just airdropping back and forth now. It's so nice.
Yeah. I felt European, though. You know, the Euros got their thing going on.
I've come to peace with group chats having green bubbles. Some people prefer the Samsung phone, but the problem I feel lately is that the Apple iMessage respond to message has gotten a lot more prevalent. Like, people are way more ready to throw down a ha-ha or an exclamation point or a like, and that's when you get into the huge problem because it just sends through, liked that funny message.
Yes.
Emphasis, liked that funny message. Loved, emphasis, liked that funny message. Disliked, loved, emphasis. I lost it at this point, that funny message. But it's like, oh my goodness, we're not even responding to messages here. The messages are fine. Send your green messages. But us Apple users, we got to do our part too and stop responding with the emojis when you're in a group chat with the green bubble. That's just a problem for everybody.
Good stuff. Uh-huh.
I like your message. I mean, even people do it like one-on-one, you know? Just a ha-ha, thumbs up, right? It's weird.
Yeah,
it's like you're an Instagram DMing, you know? It's like, you know?
You know?
Lee, you got an answer for this one?
Yeah, we used to have a lady come and help us out when our little Oscar was born a few years ago. But as he sort of grew and he went to daycare, we didn't really need her around. So she moved on. But it was her birthday or something. And so I said, we should do something. You know, she'd like to see the boys. And I said, let's invite her over and we'll just have a little celebration for her. And my, I think he was seven at the time, Sebastian was like, okay, I'll make her a little meal. And I was like, okay, he's ambitious, but he's not all that flash in the kitchen. Anyway, so he started getting ready. I told her, I said, you know, come on over. We're going to have a little celebration for you. And so he started preparing his meal, and it was one carrot with uncooked, unpeeled carrot, an onion, just an onion.
Nice.
One onion. And a croissant from Trader Joe's. And those croissants at Trader Joe's are fantastic. And he had some, like, a raspberry jam ready to go. And she was supposed to come over at, like, you know, 4 o'clock or whatever. And, well, that was just a little... She was a little bit late. She was 10 minutes late, and Sebastian couldn't really wait. So he took a bite out of the croissant and and put it back down on the plate and left it there for her. And I was like, you know, I'm not sure you should sort of nibble out of your guest's treat there. And he was like, you know, but it's for her. And I'm like, okay. And so she came in, and eventually she came and I said, sit down, Sebastian prepared your meal. And I just wish I could have captured the look on her face as she saw an onion, one carrot, and a croissant that had a nibble taken out of it already.
Did she touch any of it? Or?
No, I think I did get her another croissant.
Eat the carrot at the very least. Would have been the kind. Yeah.
Courtesy carrot.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But the intention was there. I mean, it was prepared with a lot of love. It was just, you know, he just couldn't wait all that time. So, and he loves a croissant, so he thought he'd just help her out with it.
My cool story, bro, has to do with Top Shot back in late February, I guess early March. It was right before the All-Stars were announced. So whenever that was, probably late February. And I remember Trey, like, we were like, oh man, we got to figure out who the All-Stars are, snatch up a couple moments, you know, maybe you could flip them, make a buck. Whoever going, like, Chris Middleton's going to be an All-Star again. Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm going to get
50,
a couple
40,
of these.
90.
Yeah. He's a lock. He's on a great team. He's already been in All-Star. This is like classic Joe Johnson material here. Like, let's get a couple of these and then we'll see them go up. And, well, you know where this is going. Like, he didn't get named to the All-Star team. That's the first problem with my dumb plan that backfired. The second part is it's Chris f***ing Middleton. Like, no one's going to care whether he made another All-Star team with his Top Shot moment. So that one backfired. I ended up giving a couple away. And, yeah, that's the story. Like I said, it's a very cool story, bro.
Still a big snub in my book, Skeets. I was with you. I thought Middleton was an absolute lock. Come on. The Bucks were balling.
Crazy.
50, 40, 90, almost 25 a game. Sure, it's almost exactly what Tobias Harris did, and he wasn't an All-Star either, but Chris Middleton, I thought he was going to do it.
You need to change that Twitter bio to Moam Collector.
Nice. All right, we got a lot more questions still to tackle here on the beach, but first, quick break to hear from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Yeah, buddy, back with the show. I love when we find out we have new listeners or viewers live on YouTube. And I know that Zick Step is probably a new one when he said, going back to Lee's story. That's the definition of the carrot. There's no need to point out it's uncooked and unpeeled.
What, does he eat unpeeled carrots?
Yeah, a lot of people do.
You can. You certainly can.
You can. Yes, you can. But I think most people expect them peeled when they get served.
Oh, God.
What, you don't? You don't? You go, you're going to someone's house and they got
hummus. I don't think you have the right
and...
to talk about what's correct or incorrect when it comes to carrots. I mean, I brought this up because you always talk about the uncooked carrot is just a carrot.
Yeah, I know, but you don't you don't serve unpeeled carrots. I've never seen that.
Serve them, probably not, but you can eat them from the garden.
Yeah, of course you can,
man.
Of course you can,
man.
But it's one of those things. Like, you don't. Someone's got the hummus or the guacamole there. Usually, they're peeled and cut.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
Are you eating carrots?
If you see hummus and guacamole, you're expected.
Yeah,
I've never eaten a carrot with guacamole. Never.
Wow, you should try it.
Carrot with guacamole. I don't think I ever
will.
It's
dip. It's
I know. Anyway, shall we move on? Next question. We all have players we were convinced would be good and who we continue to believe in even as they produce disappointing year after year after year. Skeets with Jason Maxiel, me with Rodney Stuckey, says the emailer. But discussed less often are those players who you are convinced are bad even as they string together great seasons. For example, I was convinced Bradley Beal would be a bust coming out of college, and I continue to believe he was an overrated, injury-prone chucker until just a few years ago. My question, what players were you convinced were bad long after they had proven that they were good? Turn up, love yak guys, oxum, cow. That's from Nate in Memphis. Lee, a guy that... you thought was bad, even though he had proven he was good.
Well, Chauncey Billups was a very high draft pick by the Celtics back in 97, number three pick, but traded in his first season to the Raptors, traded in his second season to the Nuggets, and then he went to the Magic, but he never actually played for them. He was injured, signed as a free agent by the Wolves, and then eventually made his way to the Pistons in his fifth season. And I was like, this guy's a bust. You know, he's a bust. He's Chucky Atkins, basically. But... He turned his career around in Detroit, you know, became an all-star, five-time all-star he was, three-time all-NBA, two-time all-defense.
Oh, how many first-teams for
He Chauncey? Was zero first-teams.
Oh,
he
okay.
was he was two, three, two third-time and one two-time, one second-team.
See, that's why, this is why we don't talk about it, because it gets mad confusing. That's
the old 3-1-1-3.
But
it was a 1-2-2-1-3-1-3-1-2-1-2-1 all-NBA performer, got him in the Hall of Fame.
But Chauncey, you know, he turned out to be good. I still didn't really, you know, I mean, look, when he won Finals MVP in 2004, he deserved it. He was really good in that series, and that was pretty much when I was like, yeah, okay, he's not bad. But, you know, there's a little
Finals
bit of
MVP.
Interest. Well, up until that point,
okay,
I was like,
I'll give him that.
Up until that point, I was like, I'm not sure he can step up. He had that reputation for Mr. Big Shot. A little overrated, if you ask me about that part of it. But anyway, He would be, I believe, he's one of only two guys in NBA history, I believe, who's been a finals MVP before he was even an all-star. Because he wasn't an all-star until 2006, which is kind of funny, you know? I mean, that's you would think that comes first. There's one other guy. Does anyone want to take a pop at who it is?
It's not Kawhi. How about
he's got a connection
to Cornbread Maxwell?
No, I didn't go that deep, but this guy has a connection to Chauncey Billups.
Wow.
Could it have been Manu if he won Finals MVP? No,
Manu was an All-Star in 2004, I believe.
Oh, that was early.
This guy has a connection because he's from the same team as
Joe Dumars.
Dumars in 1981.
He wasn't an All-Star. Wow.
No, he became one in 94 or something like that. But yeah. So anyway, Chauncey, he turned into a pretty decent career, but certainly wasn't that going that way at the start. Do you guys remember him as the Raptors?
I mean,
sure.
Yeah, remember him on the team. It wasn't all that amazing, like you've pointed out. He was fine, but that is a good one, honestly. I mean, a guy that drafted that high that bounces around to that many teams to start his career, it's like you're going to maybe sour on him pretty quickly. But to turn into a Hall of Famer... he's a borderline guy. Yeah.
No, not yet.
He possibly could get it.
And then he reincarnated as Kyle Lowry. So Kyle Lowry's going to make the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, exactly. Who do you have, Tess?
For me, we're going Raptors. Jonas Valanciunas.
That's good.
Yeah, because 2011, maybe it's just me being holding a bit of a grudge. But I thought the Raptors should have drafted Kemba Walker instead of Jonas Valanciunas. Was desperately looking for a guard just like Chauncey Billups, you know, turned out to be better somewhere else. So Jonas Valanciunas definitely developed into a really, really, really good player and a fan favorite in Toronto, and he's still kicking the snot out of opposing centers right now, a decade later. But yeah, I was just it's me being a very grudge-worthy. I just wanted the Raptors to take Kemba Walker, so that's where I was with that one. Jonas it's impressive that he's still going. This was it took him a year to come over, I believe. So I think that this is season number 9, I believe. But still playing really, really well. Still beefing it up in the NBA.
TK, what's your answer for this?
Oh, it's obviously Paul George. Paul George finished third in MVP voting, and I was like, this guy is terrible. Paul George is obviously very good. The problem for me has always been that his handle's not tight enough, and I think that's a problem. That's why he doesn't get to the rim as easily as a Kawhi Leonard does, and another comparison for him, obviously back in the Bulls day, was Jimmy Butler, and that's what I always loved about Jimmy Butler was he wanted to shoot layups and free throws, and Paul George wanted to shoot three-pointers. It went poorly for Paul George in the bubble last year. I said I was over being a Paul George hater, and I'm on his side for tonight's game. I would like to see him actually shut some people up, myself included. I would love to say some nice things about Paul George tomorrow. We shall see how he handles this kind of pressure.
Oh, my God. He has to have... Like, I almost wonder what it would take at this point for Paul George to lose the haters that love to pull out the pandemic P and... all of his disappointing playoff performances. Like, I mean, does he even have to win a title at this point? I don't know. Like, if he has a great game tonight, I guess, sure, some people, they'll still pile on him. It's wild. I hope he has an awesome game tonight, too, just for the narrative, for the story. My answer to this is Dennis Schroeder. I just, watching him here in Atlanta, he got a lot of, like, opportunity, and he's a decent player, but, man, as a point guard, you were left wondering, like, this guy, he makes a lot of strange decisions. He thinks he's, like, by far the best player on the floor when he's not a lot of the time. This is, like, young Schroeder, too. And so I was like, I'm not convinced. I think this guy could be a starting point guard on a legit sort of finals contender type team or, like, really going deep playoff team. He's proven me wrong a little bit. Like, he went to OKC and, like, really flourished in that role under Chris Paul and sort of that three-guard system there with SGA, and then finds his way to the Lakers and has his ups and downs. At times, I'm like, ha-ha, I knew it. And then other times, you're like, wow, this guy's actually really good. And, you know, he definitely bets on himself, and maybe that's going to backfire. See what type of contract he gets. But, yeah, I just find him to be a frustrating player. Because he's not, like, really a point guard to me, and that's fine. Like, there's a lot of guys, actually, in this league that are, like, Yeah, they say PG, but they're more of a shooting guard and or a guy that should come off the bench. And I just think that's Schroeder for me. I don't know if you agree there, Lele. I see you nodding away.
Well, Magic Johnson doesn't think he's a Lakers player. So I wonder how that bodes for his free agency. But yeah, the thing about Schroeder is he has those games where you're like, this guy's a really solid backup point guard. I think that's a great role for him. But he does tend to sort of admire his own shot and his own game a little too much still for me. Like, he gets a shot and he sort of struts and he's like, yeah, man, I'm cool.
He's confident, man.
I know.
In that department, which makes him, like, a good sort of sixth man. Like, those guys are usually wired like that. So maybe that is his best role. He doesn't think so, of course. He thinks he should start. Yeah.
He's got a really quick first step. He can get to the rim. And he can hit that three, but he does drift in and out a little bit at times with his consistency. So I'm not sure where the best role is for him and on which team, because I think he does bring a little bit of attitude baggage with him, which can rub some people up the wrong way.
Possibly.
I see the stream team is suggesting Reggie Jackson, and I kind of feel that that's a very similar character to Dennis Schroeder.
100%.
Like, when they've got it going, they're on fire. And, you know, Reggie Jackson has been very good for the Clippers, but it's also like, Reggie Jackson's going to just be hitting 7 threes a game now? Is that seriously something that's happening? I don't know. Maybe Schroeder needs the same sort of thing, a little bit of a... You know, things didn't work out well for Reggie Jackson at the end of his Detroit tenure, and now he's bounced back with the Clippers. Maybe this shenanigans with Dennis Schroeder turning down a big extension and then having a dud of a playoff series, maybe he comes back even more fired up just like Reggie.
Yeah, it's possible. Next question. Hey, mates, what are your all-time NBA fly-on-the-wall moments? What NBA meetings, decisions, etc. do you wish you could have been present for? An obvious one for me is the first Michael Jordan retirement. Oh, to be in the room with David Stern and MJ. Curious to hear your thoughts. Love your work. Cheers. That's from Ben V by way of Sydney, Australia. Tass, why don't you get us started?
Fun question. For me, it's 2017. Blake Griffin was a free agent with the Los Angeles Clippers, and they decided to pitch him with a crazy t-shirt where he was thrown onto a shirt, as you see here on YouTube, with
what a shirt.
Some historical figures. Blake Griffin is in a Clippers jersey on a shirt, with Muhammad Ali, JFK, MLK, Lincoln, Gandhi, Einstein, Obama, Nelson Mandela,
and the shirt,
emblazoned on there is the word pioneers in a odd font and
cool graffiti font.
Yeah, what is that shirt, what is that thing. And then they ended up signing him, so I suppose it worked, but then they traded him months later that same season. They said, nope, not enough of a pioneer this year, Blake Griffin. You out of here. And I mean, they're pioneers for doing that, I think, in the NBA. I don't think any other team has ever put one of their players on a shirt with historical figures like that, let it be known that that happened, and then traded him just months later. You're our franchise, you're our guy. And yeah, he obviously was extremely pissed about that. And there's the classic video of him warming up with the Detroit Pistons against the Los Angeles Clippers, I guess is the next time they played. And Steve Ballmer, Clippers owner, comes up for a handshake, and Blake just jets.
Didn't see him.
No chance. Yeah, so that's a unique one, man. I said, who the heck made that decision?
Yeah, didn't they also, unless I'm like mixing up sort of stories now in terms of recruitment or keeping players and signing them, like, did they set up some weird, like, almost exhibit, like he was going to eventually go in the Hall of Fame as a Clipper, and like it was like a this is your life type of thing, you know what I mean?
I think you're exactly right. Like a massive production, this is what it would be like if we retire your jersey as a Clipper someday.
Yeah.
You're the Albert Einstein of the NBA. Einstein is also a weird inclusion, I do think, on that one. The Albert Einstein of the NBA, Blake Griffin. And then in just a few months, he gone.
Yeah.
No handshakes.
People in the stream team saying, where can I get that shirt? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you can find it on eBay. There's got to be some bootlegs out there. And also people say, you guys got to sell that shirt or a variation of that shirt on the No Dunks website, in the No Dunks store. I would love Lee Ellis's head as the Blake, and then a bunch of hilarious pioneers with you, Lele. Is there anyone in particular you would love to see on the same shirt with you, Lee?
Give me three.
Andrew Gaze.
Andrew Gaze.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, yes, Australian pioneers.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good. They don't have to be basketball, though. I think it's funnier if they're not. Who else?
Well, Paul Hogan. I think, and Michael Hutchins.
Shirt?
What about Michael Hutchins?
What about
there as well?
Him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
What about this Australian guy?
Stream team, yeah. Let us know if that's a shirt you'd like to see. Australian Pioneers. I would buy that. People are saying the Thorpedo.
Oh, yeah. Thorpy, yeah. Yeah, he'd be great.
WNBA Lauren Jackson, right?
Lauren Jackson, another basketball one. She'd be great, yeah.
Okay.
Nicole Kidman, throw her on there.
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Sure.
Nicole, I'm not sure if it's known elsewhere, but Nicole, I think, was born in Hawaii. And I think she lived in England until she was 10 or something like that. So a bit of a looser connection, I think. Although, you know, she's Australian. But
who is the most famous Australian, though? And it doesn't need to be like a I mean, I guess it could be a celebrity, but like who is it?
Of all time?
Because yeah.
Wow, I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking...
Olivia Newton-John?
I mean, probably.
it's
possible. It's possible.
Angus Young. This is great. I would love this shirt.
This is a great shirt.
This is a great shirt.
Yeah, right. Elle Macpherson was huge for
supermodel.
Okay. Yeah, it's it just depends, I guess, on what your field of interest is, sort of, you know, the most. I mean, Greg Norman.
Leon, I got it for next week's Apple Podcast subscription exclusive. Leo is counts down the top 10 Australians of all
right,
time.
All right. Yeah.
If that doesn't get people to subscribe,
The top 10 most famous Australians.
Oh, Steve Irwin was pretty good.
Yeah, Steve Irwin, yeah.
Rest in peace. Yeah, okay. Yeah. This is great. This is going to be a good shirt. Start writing these down, somebody. Because we gotta get this to Breaking Tea immediately so we can start producing these. So Tass has answered. TK, do you have an answer for this one?
Oh, I forgot which question we were answering here, Skeets. Oh, where would I like to be? A fly on the wall?
Yeah.
There was that famous story from Kevin Arnovitz not too long ago above Robert Sarver bringing a goat into the front office of the Phoenix Suns, and the goat proceeded to take a dump on the floor of Ryan McDonough's office. That would be awesome to see. And if you were a fly, you would be absolutely loving it in there. Not only do you get to see some NBA history, your favorite smell...
Yeah, you wouldn't be a fly on the wall. You'd be a fly on the turd.
That's right.
What about you, Lily?
Well, I think it's... I would love to have been in David Stern's office when the Tim Donaghy stuff came through because... Well, just because, you know, David Stern was such a person who liked to control the message and the image of the league and gambling. He was dead against gambling under any circumstances in the NBA. And to have a referee and they had the wiretaps and they had evidence and it was like... This guy is shaving points or, you know, influencing games. That must have been, honestly, David Stern's worst nightmare, I think, because the integrity of the league was at stake. And when you've got a referee who was in playoff games as well and the mafia were after him, that must have... Oh, he must have been... He had a pretty violent temper, people say, behind the scenes, but that never came out in public. We never saw David Stern go crazy, but there's some great stories about him, like with owners and things like that well, where he's just unloaded on a few of them, you know, like guys like Mark Cuban and that. So I can just imagine if one day someone comes in, he's, you know, operations officer and says, listen, man, the mafia's got one of our refs caught saying, yep, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Yeah. Because, you know, people always say, you know, the NBA wants this game 7 out of this series. You know, of course, the Kings and the Lakers back in the day, things say that. But there's never really been any hard evidence to prove that. There's only been sort of circumstantial stuff on foul calls and things like that. But this was finally some real evidence that Donaghy was doing some bad stuff. And I don't think David Stern would have been too thrilled with it.
No, probably not. That's a great answer. Jason Fire 34, he actually just straight up took my answer here in the stream team. KD's recruiting visit in the Hamptons would have been pretty fun. Yeah, the whole formation of really any super team, but specifically, the Warriors and how they came together would be a good one. Just like, how are those conversations going down? And what was Curry saying to, like, you know, was he massaging egos or not? Like, you know, the details and just like the talent in that room out there in the Hamptons would be pretty awesome. So,
didn't Tom
answer.
Brady show up for the Celtics pitch or something like that?
Yep. These super teams coming together. It's a lot of crazy little stories. So any of them would be awesome. That's a fun question for everybody in the stream team. drop your answers or in the comments below the video. Okay, Tassie, what we got here? We got another one. Yeah, we got some good questions this week.
We got a few more cues. Hey, Dunk Daddies. 3 years ago, I had season tickets to the Orlando Magic. And in a game against the Pacers, there was this very tall kid with huge hair in front of me. I figured it was just some random tall guy, but as soon as I thought that, someone asked to take a picture with him. Still had no idea who he was, but the next morning, the very first video on my YouTube recommended was Nasir Little Highlights. And yes, I found out that the kid that was sitting one row in front of me was eventual Portland Trail Blazers draft pick Nasir Little. A bit creepy that his highlights would randomly pop up on my phone the next morning. But my question, have you ever unknowingly encountered a celebrity or NBA player and then figured it out later on? That's from Austin E. Lee, you got an answer for this one.
Specific yeah. question.
So this is kind of funny talking about Australians because when my wife and I went to Australia for the first time 10 years ago, we went from Toronto to LA. And, you know, sometimes if you see a celebrity and you're not expecting to, you sort of almost think you know them. And as I was boarding the plane, I walked past the first class section on, I don't know, Air Canada, American Airlines, something. And I saw a face I recognized and I sort of did the, oh, hey, as if we were friends.
Yeah.
And then I did the sort of like, and then I kept walking and it was Jeffrey Rush. And I was like, I don't know him at all. He doesn't know me, but I, you know, I've seen him and I'm just like, I just gave him the old hey.
Right.
And so anyway, right. Then I was talking to Roxanne. I said, that was Jeffrey Rush up there. And she goes, yeah, I think it was too. I saw him too. I'm like, yeah, wow, that's pretty amazing. Anyway, so we flew to Australia. Then on the way back from Australia,
we were on a plane
from Melbourne to Los Angeles. And this guy was just sitting up in front of us. Now, you guys don't actually know who this guy is, but I was back and it was the middle of the, or towards the end of the Australian rules football season. It was playoffs. And this guy was a superstar player. And, anyway, he kept coming in out of his chair and he'd go to the washroom. It's a 14-hour flight. Everyone's up and down. And I just remember looking at this guy and just going, who is that guy? I know him. I know him from somewhere, but I couldn't quite place it. And then I eventually realized I'd recognize him from TV because I was watching Aussie Rules football. It was Buddy Franklin, one of the superstar players from the Hawthorn Football Club. Oh, and I was just nice. Like, yeah. So I just kept looking at this guy and I was just like, who is he? Who is he? He's an athlete. So he's, you know, pretty fit, athletic looking. He's a tall guy, 6'5" or something like that. And I was just like, he's sort of a friend of mine, but I've can't, who is he? I've forgotten. Did I meet him? Did I have drinks with him or whatever? And then eventually I figured it out. I was like, oh yeah, that was him. So
did you go up to him or no?
No. He was, because I couldn't quite pick, I couldn't quite point out who it was at the start. And I was like, we didn't want to go and say, do we know each other? I mean, anyway. So, but he was pretty much at the height of his powers then. So it was cool to see him on the plane. So there you go. A couple of trips, saw some famous
Jeffrey
people.
Jeffrey Rush and Buddy Franklin. Put him on a t-shirt.
A couple of pioneers.
I'm not even attempting to beat that. So, Tass, Trey, go ahead. If you got a good story where you came across a celebrity, an encounter, or an NBA player, whatever, and then you figured it out later on. You got something, TK?
No, I don't have a good answer. One of my superpowers is actually recognizing celebrities where you wouldn't expect them, but I could have easily been sitting next to Buddy Franklin at any point in my life and had no idea, so I guess they sometimes sneak by you.
We're going to have to learn some Buddy Franklin facts for next week's top five most famous Australians. Can't wait for that.
I assume he was talented, was he, Lily?
He still plays, yeah. Yeah, he
plays?
Yeah, he still plays, yeah. I think it was just after that season he signed like one of the biggest contracts ever, like a 10-year contract. But he won a couple of championships and, he was just a superstar, super talented player. And, he's never won the MVP, but I think he came close a couple of times. So, Lance Buddy Franklin.
Lance Buddy Franklin.
There's a fact. Didn't know his name was Lance.
We're already learning things about Buddy Franklin. Okay.
Oh, I sat next to this guy on a plane for sure.
you got a photo? JD, you got a photo of Buddy Franklin? Maybe we've all sat beside him.
Yeah. I'm going to upload a couple of clips from YouTube after the show to link to this show. Yeah. He was good. He's a good player.
That's Lee's version of the post-game press conferences. Yeah. Anytime we talk about some random sport that none of the rest of us know about, we get the YouTube follow-up half an hour after we're done recording.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. Tass, do you have an answer for this?
Quick one. I walked by the late, great, politician, activist John Lewis at the Pancake House here in Atlanta once. He was having breakfast with somebody, and I stopped, and it was one of those, like, is that John Lewis right here where I'm eating breakfast? He likes the same greasy pancakes and sausages that I like, and it was definitely him because he caught me staring at him and was expecting me to go up to him because everybody who sees him, I'm sure, goes up and talks to him because I was just like kind of slack-jawed, I'm sure, just looking at him. So he was waiting. But as soon as I clicked in, you know, kind of like Lee there, as soon as I clicked, I was like, okay, that's him. I'm not bothering him. No chance. Confirmed. Walking by. Enjoy your sausages, sir. And yeah, and that was that. But that was crazy. That was just nuts to see him in the flesh. So that was pretty cool. Skeets, why don't you, when the Buddy Franklin story came up, I thought of the Gene Simmons story. Your Gene Simmons story, man.
That popped in my mind. But like that one, I knew it was Gene Simmons.
You got to know Gene.
It did catch me by surprise. That's a good point. I don't know if I knew he was sitting like just in the last row of first class, and I was in the first row of the main cabin. I don't think I knew he was there. I don't think I saw him when I boarded. But then,
what did he call you? He called you something.
Sexy, like, was it just young, sexy man or something?
Strong, sexy man or something?
Did you help him with his bag?
Oh, he had a bag. Because again, it was like a small plane, so it wasn't like a big divider. It was like one of those little, like, you know, flimsy curtains to separate. And when we're all standing up as we were, you know, taxiing there or about to exit the plane, he's like, yeah, young sexy man or whatever he said, help me with my bag.
I'm so jealous of that. Yeah, I'm so jealous.
That's my best airplane encounter.
That's awesome.
Gene Simmons, yeah, that's not bad. It's a good one. All right, the stream team dropping some hilarious stories too about running into who they think may or may not be, you know, Will Arnett and Hugh Grant and all of these things. So keep your stories coming, both there in the stream team and in the YouTube comments below. Okay, we still got a few more questions, so don't go anywhere. Final break to hear from our sponsors.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, our next question here comes from Brent. Hello, gentlemen. On a recent Beach Steppin' podcast, Trey dropped an unverified fact. Birds can recognize human faces. It reminded me of something else I learned from y'all. Some years ago on a classic episode of The Starters, Tess told us all that we should not be cleaning our ears with Q-tips and that we should let that wax ride. Thank you, Dr. Mellis. I never cleaned my ears again. What is something that you could easily verify, but instead you just chose to take at face value? Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome. That's from Brent Worcester in Massachusetts. Tass, what you got an answer for this?
Well, I wanted to address this because I like Brent, barely clean my ears. The wax buildup is just, it's been building for years. But I think it's affecting me. Sometimes I think my hearing is going, and maybe it's because I'm getting a little older, but I've had some problems the last couple of years. I mean, on Friday we're at the Hawks game, And Lee was talking to me, and there's definitely pyrotechnics going on in the background, but I was like, what? I can't hear you. It's like, I look around and people
Buddy
are having normal...
Buddy Franklin! Do you know Buddy Franklin? I think I saw him in the urinal.
There he is. There's Buddy looking good. That's here if you're watching the YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah. Big Buddy.
Big good buds. Looking man. Yeah. Still playing, huh, Buddy Franklin?
Still playing. Still playing. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, you can continue that story next time we go to the Hawks game, Lee, because,
Buddy was playing for the Hawks when I saw him. The Hawthorne Hawks.
The Hawthorne Hawks.
Yeah.
Cool. Anyway, I just, even the last couple of years, just feel like I had a problem with my earpiece at NBA TV. It's like, is there just a bit of fluid buildup in here? Like, my one ear was good. My one ear wasn't. I went to go check. I went and had a hearing test done. Everything was good. Hmm. The old hearing test, which I freaking hate. They shove stuff way up in those ears. Not fun. I'm just worried. I'm worried, Brent. I'm worried for you. I'm worried for me. I'm worried maybe the wax buildup is backfiring on us. But listen, don't use Q-tips. Just find another way. Anyway, that's all I wanted to add to that. So,
I have Anybody to think else? that is the most well-received advice that has ever been given on this show, because as soon as you said it, I was the same way as Brent. I was like, Tass would never lie about this. I can never use a Q-tip again. I've gone with a finger and a Kleenex. We've talked about it a lot before, but it wasn't really a problem until earbuds started getting back to popularity, and now I'm like... They should just make Apple EarPods yellow at this point. Because, I mean, the white or the black, it's showing a lot of yellow, unfortunately. But, you know, I guess that's just healthy. It's healthy for your healthy ears, wax. Maybe not your AirPods.
Lee, what's something you could easily verify, but you just, you know, take it face value?
It doesn't really happen anymore because of smartphones. But if ever you're traveling and you used to have to get the old map out, you know, and you would sort of look for something or you would ask someone for directions... I don't know
Did
why.
Somebody time that? Like, did you just hit a ring chime? Talking about
no,
his
that's
phone?
That's the
old ringer.
Yeah. Classic ring chime.
Another delivery.
The volume's down as well, and it still makes noise. Anyway. But, you know, sometimes when you just say to someone, hey, where's the shop I'm looking for? And they tell you, and you just don't listen to instructions. You know, you could easily say, okay, just let me write this down. Let me get it. Let me double check it. But if you ask someone for directions, you just sort of just don't listen to them. You just don't. But and anyway, so now, as I say, you just Google anything in your phone and you just follow the little blue dot to go to where you need to go. But back in the day, you know, when we were kids, before we had smartphones, you sometimes had to rely on the locals. And I don't know why it's so hard. I think it's a man thing. You just sort of sometimes can't go, all right, I need more clarification before I proceed. But you say, hey, where is someone? This, and they say, oh, it's just down there, over the road, up here, over there. Go, yeah, okay, got it. And you haven't got it.
Right.
But, you know, you end up asking like five other people on your way there. You sort of just get closer and closer and closer.
That's a good one. For me, at some point over the last few years, I don't know exactly when, my wife started putting a couple sheets of paper towel in our opened lettuce or spinach bag or plastic container. I guess it's like a salad green hack, right? I think what it's doing is the paper towel is absorbing like moisture that can ruin your lettuce. But I've never verified that. I'm sure Nora's right. I know she's probably looked it up, but I just do it. And I'm like, she tells me to do it. I'm like, all right, I guess I'll do this. And I'm always like, is this actually doing anything? But I guess it is.
Do you follow up on the paper towel afterwards? Is it damp? Like more damp than you would expect?
I guess it is, but I mean, I guess it is. So I'm sure it's working. I guess my lettuce is lasting longer.
The freshest lettuce out there.
Yeah. It's apparently a good hack there for everybody. You just throw that paper towel in. Like, I'm talking about, of course, like you've opened a bag of spinach or lettuce. Then when you're going to reseal it, either in a plastic container or back in that bag or a Ziploc bags, throw a couple sheets of paper towel in there. It absorbs the moisture. I don't know if that's true, but I've been doing it for the last little while. Nora says to do it, so I've continued to do it.
Sounds legit to me. Every little bit helps. In our house, it's keeping batteries in the fridge. Do they last longer if they're cold? Why is that the case? I don't know. But all of ours are freezing. I know that's the case around here. If you want a battery, it's right by the pesto sauce.
But so what, you buy them and put them in the fridge, or when they like get flat, you put them in the fridge?
No, we buy the pack. We buy the pack and they stay unrefrigerated.
Right.
Refrigerate after opening is kind of the policy here in the Kirby household. So as soon as you need, you know, you order a package of 16 batteries, you need two of them for the remote control. The other 14 are getting stocked in that fridge because the cold keeps the charge longer. I don't know. Yeah. Is that possible? I mean,
no clue.
Maybe, but when your car gets really cold outside and your battery's really cold, it doesn't start. So yeah.
My in-laws do the same thing. Batteries up on the fridge door, on the inside of the fridge door.
Wow.
Yep.
Really weird.
Never heard that before.
Because then you take them out and they're at room temperature forever.
I don't know.
The thinking is somehow a fully charged battery remains fully charged longer. Or drain slower than a normal temperature battery. We have no idea if it's true. That's a great one. I've heard of people that do it too, for sure. You're not alone.
Yeah.
And the reason why they're not selling them in stores in fridges is so they can turn them over faster.
Oh wow! Yeah, they should be in the cold section. They should be right beside the milk and stuff like that. I'm gonna start moving all the batteries I see in the grocery store over to the. To the open cold section.
Oh, you're keeping these in the warm section? I'll move these over here.
Yeah,
for you.
Keep them refrigerated. That. Everybody start doing that. Actually, don't. It's probably dangerous. Anyone else who's got an answer for this? Everybody else answer? I can't remember if anybody. I can't remember.
Yeah, that's fine.
No, I think so.
I don't feel like everybody answered, but we can move on. One more.
Last one here. Hey, No Dunks crew. My 8-year-old son is somehow obsessed with 80s rock music. Not exactly sure how this happened. It's not like I'm putting on Def Leppard to listen to at home, but it's nostalgic to hear the songs I loved as a kid. After listening to The Drop on Friday, I thought he'd get a kick out of Lee's whistling Guns N' Roses, so I queued it up for him. Like JD, I didn't pick up on the tune, so I didn't expect much. But after literally 3 seconds, my son yelled out, "Patience by GNR!" Well, he calls him GNR, too. I was shocked and way more proud than I should have been. Lee, you have at least one fan out west. So, when was the time you underestimated someone and they surpassed your expectations? Thanks for helping me stay sane through the pandemic and beyond Vax Up. Love you guys. Awesome. That's from Brian in Palo Alto, California. Skeets, you got an answer?
Well,
a time you underestimated someone and they surpassed your expectations.
Well, just quickly with the patience, GNR, because of that show, and I'm sure I put it in the write-up or something on YouTube, now the number one recommended video every time I fire up YouTube is Patience by Guns N' Roses. It has since that show. So they're either listening or they've picked up on what I was writing and what you were doing in that show. Yeah. A time I underestimated someone and they surpassed my expectations. I'm just going to show you her getting a dog, guys. The greatest thing I ever did.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, look at her. She's so cute. Luna. Ah, she's sleeping. We won't wake her. You know, I was excited to get a dog, no doubt. But I don't know. I was like, yeah, lots of people got dogs. It's fine. I like dogs, but I've never had one. How good could it be? How great could it be? I was wrong. It's better than I ever imagined. I love this little girl now. She's
look
the
at
best.
This guy. Can't even sit straight in his chair because he wants everybody to see his dog.
Oh, yeah, she's so good. So yeah, it was getting a dog. I mean, I wish I've said this before. I wish I had a dog way sooner now, but this one was meant to be.
The time was right.
Gotta have a dog.
A man's gotta have a dog. You really should. And women should have dogs too. Everybody should have a dog if you can.
All humans should have dogs.
If you can. If you can, you know, you get it can be expensive. It'd be nice if you got the space and all that. Yada, yada, yada. God, love her. Look at her. Hey, look at that.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
I got a little sausage.
I've had my dog for a decade, and I've seen your dog on the internet more in the past 1 year.
Oh, man. For sure. So, everybody, shout out to Joel Myers. No. See, this is where you're wrong, my man, Joseph. That's why we got a dog. A dog we can leave with somebody else for a while. We can go do things. Anyway, that's my answer. Who's got another one? Let's wrap this baby up. Lili, what do you got?
Well, I've got some trivia for you. How many views do you think Guns N' Roses' Patience has? On Vivo.
I don't even know where to start. I mean, like 20 million? I don't know.
20?
Give me 450 million.
Okay. Yeah, Trey's much closer, okay. But still low.
600.
606 million views on on Vivo. Not their most watched video, though, I believe, is... guess what their most watched video is?
November Rain.
Yeah, have a guess how many that's got.
A billion.
850.
Whoa!
Wow. That's pretty impressive. 2 billion.
1.6 bill. Bill.
It's a long video, too.
I know.
Like it's a lot of playback minutes.
I know. I was watching Patience as well the other day, and I didn't realize, I forgot that in it, even at the start, he does the little wiggle slide, you know, the hip slide that he does, the classic Axl Rose dance move. Like, didn't really seem like it fit that sort of a song, you know, but he does it. He sort of just, he does it with the little hips out there. So, you know, just a little thing I wanted to share with everyone.
Great. Now I'm going to have November Rain and every other Guns N' Roses song popping up in my YouTube recommendations. Can't wait. Do you have an answer, though, Lele, for this?
Nah, not really. Not really. I was just very excited to hear, like, an 8-year-old was able to pick up my whistling. So,
that's wild because... Yeah. And everybody else was like, what is he whistling?
Yeah,
what
so
is
everyone
that?
Else has got their ears painted on or something. I mean, this kid's obviously very smart. So,
he hasn't built up the wax yet. He's 8 years old. He can hear everything like pitch perfect. All right.
Yeah. So great. Great song. Great fun.
Trey, Tess, answers before we go.
I was surprised to find out just how much Lee Ellis was the mayor of Bar 3 the time we went. I knew he was ingrained in the community, but when we came in there, he was like a politician working the room.
Come on over here.
Exactly right. And then we got into the workout. Us three are struggling. Lee's killing it. I was like, no wonder they asked this guy to squat on the website.
Yeah, they're gonna remove him though. I asked you the other day, Lele. Are you still doing Bar 3? Still, you know, going or doing it at home? And you said no. I said, oh, they're taking off that squat photo off the website. Yeah.
No consistent workout right now. I want to get back into something, but if the funny thing is about Bar 3, the first time I went was to pick up Roxanna, and it was an incredibly intimidating environment, being the only dude, and like 30 women came out from a workout. Everyone's all sweaty and that, and I just felt like, wow, I've never been this outnumbered. But once you get in, once you go on the other side of the rope and you become one of them, oh man, it's a different experience. It's it was so much fun doing those workouts. I'd love to get them back into my routine if I can. Yeah. But no real window right now for that, unfortunately. So
okay.
We'll see.
I mean, I don't have a great answer. You mentioned the dog. I mean, I wasn't a cat man growing up, but then I was with a girlfriend for a long time, and she had a cat, and I, you know, I wasn't extremely excited about this cat, but Bojangles, great cat.
Oh,
we're great friends, me and Bobo.
Animals, pets, animals, we're not deserving of them. Man. We really aren't, man. We really, truly aren't. Let's call it there. Woo! Another epic Beach Steppin' podcast. Thanks to everybody that sent in questions. Keep them coming. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. You can tweet them in @NoDunksInc as well. Make sure you go check out this morning's podcast. Had a lot of fun talking about KD's masterpiece there in Game 5. Got into the All-NBA selections and snubs, and that got heated a little bit. Lots of fun. And we'll be back tomorrow, Thursday, at 10 a.m. Eastern live to break down tonight's two pivotal Game 5s with both series tied at 2 games apiece. We got the Hawks and the Sixers, followed by the Clippers and the Jazz. That one is in Utah. So 2 games on tonight. Back tomorrow to break them all down. We'll talk about LaMelo winning Rookie of the Year. All of this, like, late-breaking news, or at least some of the other stuff we didn't really address here on today's show or this morning's show. So join us then. If you haven't got a subscription to The Athletic, go to theathletic.com/nodunks so they know we sent you. And I believe that's it. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, as Lee sort of outlined there with Bar 3, gymtimidation is a real thing.
Brace the day, people. You could.